Okay, tonight's daf is Beitza daf Lamed Zayin. I'm an Aleph. We're going to begin. Let's begin in the bottom of Lamed Vav, Amud Beis, the last line. The Mishnah gave us a whole list of various mitzvos, some which are characterized as reshus, some which are characterized as a mitzvah, but things which one may not do on Shabbos or Yom Tov because they are asur mishum shvus. One of the things that are mentioned over here as being reshus, not a mitzvah, is mekadshin. It says in the Mishnah, v'lo mekadshin, that a man may not go ahead and be mekadesh a woman. So it says the Gemara, v'ha mitzvah ka'avid. Why is this listed over here as a reshus? After all, this is a mitzvah. It says, Rashi shenose isha befros v'lirvos, v'maika korile reshus. After all, he's going to marry a woman with the hope and expectation to be able to have children to fulfill the mitzvah of puravu. That's not reshus. That's not something which is optional. This is something which is considered to be a requirement. So says the Gemara, the islay ishubanim. We're talking about a man who was already married, or he is already married. So he has a wife with children. Says Rashi, shnei zacharim lebeis shammai, either two sons according to beis shammai, or zacher v'nekev lebeis hillel according to beis hillel. One fulfills the mitzvah of puravu when one has a boy and a girl. And then Vesula Mifkid Kuli Hai. And Rashi points out at that point there's not such a strong obligation, although the Gemara Yavama still tells us that it's still proper if one continue to have more children, if one can, but technically speaking, one has fulfilled the mitzvah in a technical sense when having either two boys according to Reshame, a boy or girl according to Beis Hillel. Then the Mishnah said, Lo Cholzin Velo Miyabmin, which means that on Shabbos or Yom Tov we do not do Chalitza or Yibum. Gemara again says, "V'ha mitzvah ka'avid." Why is this mentioned in the Mishnah as being reshus, as something which is optional? After all, if the circumstances are such where yibum and chalitz is warranted, this is something which is a mitzvah. So says Gemara, "Lo tzricha de'ika gadol." The Mishnah was needed in order to talk about a situation where there is a gadol. Says Rashi, "Begadol ha'achim liyavim." There is an older son who really should be the one to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, and the mitzvah in the truest sense of the word is incumbent upon the gadol, the oldest son, mitzvah begadol yabim, and it's his obligation. So the reshus that is referred to over here is a reference to younger brothers. If there's a younger brother, so it is still permissible for one to engage in such an act, again not on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but it would not be on the same level of obligation. And then the Gemara says, "Vekulu taimimai." What's the reason why all of these aforementioned mitzvos are prohibited? Gezeira shema yichtov. This would lead to writing. How would this lead to writing? So Rashi says, "Psakdin." Well, the first thing on this list was when it comes to adjudicating a dispute between different individuals, this may lead to writing down the psakdin. Ushtar eris in the kiddushin. When it comes to being mekadesh and isha. So in a situation where one is going to be mekadesh a woman through shtar, right? This is not a reference to the ksuba. This is talking about a shtar erisin, which we don't usually see today, right? We know that the man can be mekadesh a woman with and one of any three means. Kesef shtar rabia. Typically today, people get married through the medium of kesef, a ring. But over here, it is possible that if we allow kiddushin to take place on Shabbos, it would lead to the writing of a shtar erusin, shtar chalitza lecholetza, suksuba liyabama. So in a situation where a person is doing chalitza, there would be a shtar written down, or ksuba written in a case of yibum. So in all these cases, there's a gezeira sheva yichtov that this may lead to writing, which of course is prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that's why these activities are prohibited on these days. Then the Mishnah says, ve'elu hein mishum mitzvah. Mishnah said there are certain things that are, again, asur on Shabbos and Yom Tov because they are shvus, but we characterize them as being mitzvos. L'makdishin v'l'marichin v'l'machrimin. Why can you not be makdish, marich, and machrim? Again, these were different examples of consecrating certain objects or a person making a pledge to hekdesh. In all these cases, gezeira mishum mekach u'memkar. This is all a gezeira that it would lead to business dealing. Says Rashi, because after all, they're similar in some respects to business transactions. Because what happens when a person goes ahead and he's makdish something, marich, machrim. So in these cases, ultimately, something is going to go from his rishus to the rishus of hekdesh, and this is, after all, very similar to the process of mekach u'memkar. Mekach u'memkar arsim in haTorah, says Rashi, mekach u'memkar is really something which is biblically prohibited, as the pasuk says, Yonav Yishayo d'chsiv mimtso chefzucha v'daber davar, that on Shabbos we have to refrain from engaging in activities that are similar to weekday matters, mimtso chefzucha, the things that you normally choose to engage in, the things that you desire to do, which Chazal Asum refers to business matters, v'daber davar, the things that we speak about, should we differ on Shabbos. Inami says Rashi, or it's possible mekach u'memkar osi l'dei k'siv ashtari mechira, Rashi, or it's possible that really the Yisra of Mekach u'Memkar is not in fact the Yisra of the Raisa, it's only Yisra midi Rabbanan, and it's all included in the same Gezerah that was mentioned earlier, that a Gezerah Shema Yichtov Yom Tov, if that's true, says Rashi, Havelo Gezerah L'Gezerah. How could that be? Because if that's so, then we have over here a Gezerah L'Gezerah, right, taking us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta when we spoke about the concept of you can have a Gezerah that something will lead to an Yisra of the Raisa, but you can't have a Gezerah that something may lead to something which itself is only a Gezerah the Rabbanan. So it says Rashi, this would all be kula chade gezeri. Also an expression that we learned earlier in the Masechta, that it's really all, would all be included in one general gezeri, gezeri shema yichtov. So two possibilities as to why exactly, you know, what does it mean when we say gezeri shum mekach u'memkar, whether that itself is the problem or that's also just part of the gezeri shema yichtov. Then it says in the mission of Allah Magbi and Trumas and Maisos that you cannot go ahead and separate Trumas and Maisos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Says the Gemara Peshitta, obviously, you can't do this. Why can't you do it? Why is that obvious? So we had...
We learned.
Yeah, so why we learn? It's
because it's been talking.
Right, because it's like a form of tikkun, that you're taking the peros, which at this point are asur b'achila, you're not permitted to use them because they're considered tevel, and by going ahead and being mafesh shumas amaiso, so you are misakein this mixture of peros, and now it is something which could be used. So that's obvious that that's prohibited, says Rashi. Says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Yosef, lo tnetzucha ela litna l'koin bobayom. No, the Mishnah is needed to talk about a situation where you would not just be mafis the Trumash Maisu, you actually go ahead and give it to the Kohen on that day. Meaning, Rashi says, Rashi dikla meimar, perhaps you could have said the following. Lav mucha milsihi the l'tukune tavlu mechavin. It's not clear and evident from the person is doing that he's actually doing this for the purpose of being misakin the tevel, namely to enable him to eat the food. After all, as far as you know, you don't know that he actually needs the leftovers, meaning the chulin which remains. It seems as if what he's doing is he's just transferring the truma to the kohen, because it would seem as if I'm just trying to help the Kohen out, right? I want to give him food so he could, to enhance his Simchas Yom Tov. That would seem to be a very noble act and one that would be completely permissible. So afilu hachi yasser, even though one would have thought that, nevertheless, we see that under all circumstances, it's prohibited to be mafesh trumas u'maisos Shabbos and Yom Tov, even if it's not evident from what you're doing that you're doing it for the purpose of being misakin the teva. Then the Gemara says, v'ani mili pirut the tefilim yesmo. This prohibition, which is found in the Mishnah, that says you cannot go ahead and be mafresh shumas u'maisos and Shabbos Yom Tov, that's only talking about a case where it was tevel from yesterday, meaning you had these peros beforehand, and you know you could have done it beforehand. Avapir the tefila yidna. However, you have peros that become tevel today. How could that be? Kagon isa. Let's say you're dealing with dough. You have a batter of dough. So then you can go ahead and you can be mafresh chala and give it to a kohen today. Obviously, we'd be talking about Yom Tov over here, not Shabbos. I'm assuming, right? What business do you have with dough on Shabbos? It's not really something that you can do anything with anyway. So on Yom Tov, it would be permissible to go ahead and be mafresh chala and give it to the kohen. So what did it say in the Mishnah? It said in the Mishnah, let's just go back to the Mishnah before we read the Gemara here. It said, Kol shechayav enalav mishum shvos, mishum shvos, mishum mitzvah, b'shabbos chayav enalav b'yamtif, chayav enalav b'yamtif. So it's anything which is chayav enalav mishum shvos, meaning we say anything that you cannot do on Shabbos because of a shvos, so if it's a mishum shvos or mishum mitzvah, whether it's mishum or mitzvah, on Shabbos, chayevan lav on Shabbos, and chayevan lav yom tov, you're not permitted to do it on yom tov either. So it says the Gemara, v'hani mishum rishus iko mishum shavis leka. When it mentions these things that are mishum rishus, does the Gemara Mishnah mean to say that there's only an element of rishus over here, but not shavus? V'hani mishum mitzvah, and these other examples in the Mishnah are only the only quality that they have in the context of this discussion is mitzvah, mishum shavus leka, but there is no quality of shavus. After all of them include both. They're either rishos and shavus or they're mitzvah and shavus. So why is it that the Mishnah seems to differentiate between these two categories? So Rabbi Yitzchak, lomi boy kama. Yitzchak says, no, the Mishnah is to be read as a lomi boy, meaning lomi boy shavus gritta to the aser, not only in a case where the only thing we're dealing over here is a true shavus, something that is aser on Shabbos, but it doesn't involve any rishos or any mitzvah, such as we said, like clapping and dancing. So that's aser mishum shavus, and there's no mitzvah, there's no chiyuv, there's no mitzvah rishos involved. Ela afilu shavus to rishos nami aser, but even a shavus to rishos, meaning something which is prohibited because of some shavus, some gezerah de rabbanan, and there's an element of a mitzvah, albeit rishos, even that's aser. And now says the Gemara, the Mishnah goes on to say, and not only a shvus of a rishus, the aser lafilu shvus the mitzvah nami aser, but even the shvus of a mitzvah, meaning even something which is aser mishum shvus, it's gzeir derabanan, and even though there's really a true bona fide mitzvah, and it's a chiyuv, such as like we said, it can't be l'makdishim, l'marichim, l'machrimin. So these would be real mitzvahs. Nevertheless, even this is awesome.
How is this different than the Mishnah? What did he add to our understanding of the Mishnah?
I guess it wasn't so clear. I mean, it's a clarification of the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah, I don't know that there's a Chiddush stated explicitly in the Gemara, which is not really already stated in the Mishnah. It's just that the Mishnah has been clarified, because the Lashon of the Mishnah is a little strange. It says, Kol shachayav and lov mishum shus. And then it says, mishum shus, mishum mitzvah. So it sounds like you have three categories: shavus, rishus, and mitzvah. And the Gemara says, but you know, really,
initially it sounds like they're mutually exclusive,
right? Or that they're just three different groups. But the Gemara says, when you look at the examples, all these things are also mishum shavus. So that's what Yitzchak explains, that the kavanah in the Mishnah was just to sort of set up this lomi boy. Okay, kol elu biyamtov as amru. So then the Mishnah goes on to say that anything which is what, which is call elu biyamtiv amru kavachomer b'shabbos. Anything which is also on yamtiv, kavachomer is going to be also on Shabbos. As ein bein yamtiv l'shabbos ela ochal nefesh b'vad. The only difference between Shabbos and yamtiv is ochal nefesh. On that point, the Gemara says, wait a second. Does that not contradict that which we learned really just on the previous page? Ashilin derech haru b'yamtiv of a lo b'shabbos, that you're permitted to go ahead and to lower the peiros into the skylight on yamtiv, but not on Shabbos. So what do you see? It's not only Ochal Nefesh, which there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, but even this prohibition of lowering the payers Derech Harubah, we see there's a difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. And Rav Yosef lo kasha, Harav Eliezer, Rav Yeshua. This really is Machlok Stanoim. The Tanya, it says in Hebraisa, Osov yes beno shenoflu lebor. If you have a case of a animal and her offspring, which fall into a bor. Osov yes beno is a term which refers to a special mitzvah in the Torah, Parshas, found in Parshas Emor, but the Torah tells us that you're not permitted to go ahead and shecht a cow or animal and her calf on the same day. Osav yes v'no, lo sishchatu b'yom echad. So here you have a situation where you have the mother and the baby that are fall into a bar on the same day. So Rabbi Eliezer says, and it's yomtiv. So Rabbi Eliezer says, malis arishon amanas l'shochta. You can go ahead and you could raise the first animal with the intention of shechting it. V'shochtu, and then you could shecht it. V'hasheni osa l'parnasa b'makom kadesh lo yamos. And all you could do with the second one, since you can't really shecht it that day, is you could leave it there and feed it. You can bring it food so that it doesn't die, and then after Yom Tov you can take it out. But since there's no heter shechita, because the Torah prohibits osa v'yas meno, so there's no heter to be mala the animal in Yom Tov. Rabbi Shua says no. Malas arisho namanas l'shochto. You can go ahead and you can raise the first animal with the intention of shechting it. V'eino shochto. And then you could decide, once you've brought it up, I'm not going to shecht it. And then v'chozer umarim. And then you're going to go ahead and you're going to do what's called a harama, also something we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Umala hasheni, and then you're going to raise a second one. Ratzezeh shochet, ratzezeh shochet. And now you can make a decision. Do I want to shech this one? Do I want to shech that one? So the idea is that you're shechting one, and I say, I'm going to shech this. But then you could change your mind. And you can choose to change your mind. And then you could raise the other one and look at both of them and decide which one do you want to shech. Obviously, you can't shech both of them the same day because there's still the issur of Savi Yasbino, but as far as the issur of raising the animal from the pit, if you don't need it, you can go, there's a way, says Rabbi Shua, you can actually raise both animals on Yom Tov. So what do you see? You see there's a machlokas tanoim as to whether or not, you see already there's a machlokas tanoim as to whether or not this is the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is Ochal Nefesh. Is that the... No. So it says Rashi, Ho Rebbe Eliezer, Sefer Diktani, Ein Ben Yom Tov LeShabbos. The Sefer which says there's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. The Chol Shvus, the Gazra, Shabbos, Gazra, Yom Tov. Fafilu Behefsid Mamon, Rebbe Eliezer. That anything which is also in Shabbos is also in Yom Tov. And even in a situation where there's a Hefsid Mamon, that's Rebbe Eliezer. Shalo Hitir Lahasel, so Sovies Benov, Ibnei Hefsid Mamon. Because he said it's prohibited to go ahead and raise the animal because of the concern of Hefsid Mamon. And the ratio which says that you're permitted to go ahead and to lower the payros derech haruva on Yom Tov, that was Rabbi Shua who says that b'makom hefsid mamon, we're makel on Yom Tov even though we're not makel on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, wait a second, that doesn't necessarily apply over here. Why? Dilma. So says Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, "Mimai, how do you know that that's the case? Dilma, ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Eliezer hasam elo de efshar beparnasam. Maybe the only reason why Rabbi Eliezer says that you're not permitted to raise the second animal is because efshar beparnasam, there's an alternative. You can go ahead and could feed it that day. You can keep it alive while it's in the pit, and you can avoid a situation of having to endure a true hefsed. It's an inconvenience. It's going to require some effort." But at least there's that option. But over here, when it comes to the payros that are on the roof, and you're concerned about their loss, there's no other option. There's no way to sort of keep the payros, safe from the rain. So maybe in that case, he would have a different opinion. Inami says, maybe the only Rabbi Yeshua allows one to first raise the first animal, amanas l'shechted, and then decide not to shech, then they raise a second animal, and then maybe the only reason that's an option of the according to Yeshua is the efshel arume, because it's possible the circumstances there allow for this sort of harama, this sort of legal fiction, as we call it, where you're coming up with a way to essentially beat the system of al-hacha d'lo efshel arume, but over here where there is no option of harama, so maybe Rabbi Shua in this case would not take that same position. And then the Gemara suggested another possible answer to the question. Maybe the machlokes over here reflects the two positions of Beishamah says that you're not permitted to go ahead and carry a katan. A lulav or a sefer Torah and rishus rabbim. I think I've been talking about Yom Tov. But still, I'll say it's mutter. So what do you see from here? So it says Rashi, emotzias hakatan the lohutra hotzah shelo l'tzarich. Because according to Beis Shammai, you're not permitted to carry things shelo l'tzarich ochel nefesh. V'gabei tiltul shelo l'tzarich nami gazrinon v'afilu gabei hefsid mamon. And so we'll say the same thing regarding tiltul moving, even when there's not technically hotzah, you're not carrying it rishus rabbim. Even when it comes to moving muktzah, shelo l'tzarich, even in the case where there's a hefsid mamon, Bishamai would ask for it. L'beis Hillel, the amri yotzah shelo l'tzarich muteres min ha-Torah, but tilto nami lo gazir rabbanim. According to Beis Hillel, say that you're permitted to even carry shelo l'tzarich, so that you're permitted to go ahead and move muktzah. So says the Gemara, no, dil malohi, akan lo ka'ami Bishamai hasam elo ha-Hotzah. Maybe Bishamai would only assume the more strict position that they do over there when you're dealing with an issur d'oraisa of a hutzah of a latilto when it comes to moving muksa, so maybe Bishama would be mekil in the case of a hefzed. And says the Gemara, lo, atu tilto lav tzarech Hotzahu. Says the Gemara, no, after all, isn't tiltal nothing more than a tzarech hotzah? Meaning what? Says Rashi, techilos hotzah aydei tiltal. How do you carry something in a Rishus HaRabim? The first thing you need to do is move it. The whole reason why there's an ital tiltal in the first place is because it'll lead to carrying. The only reason, says Rashi, why you're allowed to carry anything on Shabbos, such as kelim and ochlim, is because that would otherwise make life completely prohibited, and you'll be mevatel on Shabbos for simchas yamtiv. So that's the only reason. But really, there should be a gezerah of, there should be an isser of tiltal everything, even things that we absolutely need. Chazal did not extend it that far because that would make it impossible for us to properly observe Shabbos and Yamtif. However, when it comes to the Isra Hotzah, so there still is going to be an Isra Hotzah on Shabbos, and Machlokes Beisham and Beishilah when it comes to Hotzah Shalot Tzarech on Yamtif. Okay.